Hey, Scott L.
I just want to thank you for this sweet Go See Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Go See Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globine.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird or something like that.
That's
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott O.
Oh, sweet irony. I just kind of like looked up here in our beautiful plush studio we have here in Warren, Michigan.
Yeah.
And I forgot we had this toy sitting in the studio of the giant Independence Day aliens. If you've ever seen the that film Independence Day, with that horrible actor Will Smith. I can't stand that guy, but it's a cool film. Amber actually gave me that toy that we have sitting in the studio. And it's this big, alien type thing. And it really kind of just put the hook in me here about what we're talking about.
Well, right, you know, what's interesting, that's obviously a modern made-for-profit kind of image.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But
we're talking about the real deal here.
Evidently, the real deal has been going on since the beginning of,
time.
I mean, the beginning of man, anyway, because,
yeah.
We do have records, and of course, we've also got this encyclopedia that that Neil put together, the monster, the A to Z of zooform phenomena,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, would make a great Doug's moving into a new house kind of housewarming present kind of thing. And
nudge, wink, wink,
or
hint,
birthday
hint.
Present.
Oh,
or,
wow.
Any reason.
He's going off on this thing. Somebody's got to buy this thing for him quick.
This is exactly what I like to talk about. So let's talk about it. Neil, your website is www.zooform.blogspot.com, and of course it undoubtedly you then blog about this, you talk about this, and people must post to your website. What do you find from, because people all over the world now, obviously you've talked to them, do you find a lot of first-hand accounts, or is everybody a friend of a friend kind of thing?
It varies. I think the friend of a friend tales are kind of what part of the magic is, really, because some of the stories become a little exaggerated over time or through generations, and that's happened with a lot of kind of monsters, really. But also, yeah, you do get a lot of fresh accounts as well, and obviously I'll just compile a lot more, and if I get enough, I'll do another book.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual blog spot is just an update of what's going on, and if I'm doing any shows or doing and just talking to people about the general opinion on it, because it is quite an obscure subject which some people sort of can't really grasp.
Well, is there now? The thing is, we all grew up with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
we everybody's heard these legends, and as you're like it said in your bio, sit around the campfire and you're
mm-hmm.
talking about these things, and well, what's the one from that South Park movie?
Oh, God.
Something out there on a mountain.
I am Scuzzlebutt.
Scuzzlebutt.
Yeah.
Scuzzlebutt's the latest one that I know.
Funny, but, it's a good example of what we're talking about.
It, obviously, it's worked its way into even our adult cartoons. I mean, this is something that everybody's experienced. It's just, I didn't know, I have to admit, I'm not an expert in everything.
Uh-huh.
I'm sort of a jack of all trades because of the nature of,
what
the
we do
show.
Here, yeah.
But I didn't know that it had its own name, Zooform Phenomena,
mm-hmm.
until reading your stuff, Neil. So this is absolutely, it tickles me because I've got some experience with it. I mean, I as a human being, I've heard this growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I just never knew that it was a specific offshoot of
cryptozoology.
Crypto.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, because it's so obscure, I think that cryptozoology hasn't really recognised it. But like I said before, you've got some of these creatures. Another example is like the goat man in the US. And goat man has been around for a long, long time, and it kind of flits between local legends to kind of a almost Bigfoot, when it is clearly like a goat-like humanoid that's said to roam Washington and places like that, and Texas. But these kind of creatures obviously are not out there to be hunted as such, or they can't be classified by zoology, so they need something else to fit into, which is why zooform phenomena basically is that obscure kind of just category.
Well, and the thing too, you know, when we talked to Lauren the first time, and this is like probably one of the most widely asked questions, of course, but it was the first question I had for Lauren. You know, and he's really big into Bigfoot. He talks a lot about Bigfoot and stuff like that, right?
Right.
And I'm like, you know, okay, listen. There's all these sightings all over the place. We hear about, you know, this and that. We saw it here, we saw it there. How come we haven't found a corpse? Now, he answered that question very well, and I think he's completely right. He's like, you'd be surprised how fast a corpse can disappear in nature. Scavengers, through decay, through all that stuff, right? But still, you know, I still see articles popping up. I see things like, for example, like, oh my God. Whitley Strieber, for example. He always posts stuff up on his site. Oh my God, my brain stopped. I can't remember now. His website, I've seen certain articles where they posted up certain pictures of these, like, creepy-looking, you know, type of zoo form, which you're talking about, where they are, well, that's what I'm trying to get a distinction on here, too, is that cryptozoology is more along the lines of hidden, animals
right.
that are very real.
Right, but you couldn't yeah. really take a picture of a zoo form, of a true zoo form, because a zoo form does
that's
not
that's what I'm trying to get at.
It exists as a societal reference.
Okay.
As a misinterpretation of a real
all right.
crypto.
Now I understand. I'm sorry I yeah. had to clarify that with my own
basically,
little
brain. Basically, you've got, with sort of in Puerto Rico, it's kind of like, people are saying that this goat sucker out there is killing all their sort of livestock. It's leaving prints, but it's quite clearly is not. You know, a poltergeist can throw chairs around a room and scratch victims, but you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe also that the goat sucker and things like that, and a moth, you know, Mothman can buzz a bridge or attack a car, same as Lizard Man from Carolina, it can attack a car. But these things are not actual creatures awaiting discovery. They're definitely part of some bizarre void, and I don't know where they're coming from, but they definitely deserve their own book.
Well, of course they do. The thing, maybe, I mean, a lot of these can be born, and it sounds like a lot of these are born from the, like, we've already established that these are societal things, these are perceptions, these are what people see. I think a lot of these are born from just parents saying, if you leave your bed...
Basically, they're bogeymen.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you leave your bed, the clip man will get you. I don't know.
They make up a thing. Well, yeah. You know, I've seen and heard this stuff throughout my entire life, and I'm so excited to talk about it because, well, first of all, normally you don't talk about this stuff.
I'm not.
Oh, let's talk about the Nain Rouge for an hour. It just doesn't work.
No.
But but you've got
a ball or something,
right? Yeah, you're,
yeah.
You're hanging out. You're like trying to. You
You'll
know,
be excommunicated very quick from that watering hole.
I'll buy you a drink if you talk about the Mothman. Yeah, it just doesn't really jive. But if you have these people who experience them. They're very, very real at that moment. I mean, the account of the Nain Rouge, the accounts of Mothman, the accounts of all these things, they're very real
mm-hmm.
at that moment for that story or that experience. But then, you know, it's not a real thing. Like, had they had a camera, maybe it wouldn't have taken a picture.
Maybe it
would have
been on film, yeah.
I'm unsure. It's just really interesting. I wonder if it's relegated to just fancy or whatever. Who's creating?
Well, the thing is, they don't. These kind of things, they do kind of get reported more and more nowadays because there is more of an interest. But obviously, one of the most common things, which I've put in the book because it does have variations, is the old hag.
Oh yeah,
now, yeah.
It's one of the spookiest things. But I know a lot of people close to me that have had strange experiences. I've had one very strange experience myself. But it was very real. I was awake, and a lot of people are awake, but a lot of people describe a hag-like figure. But there's also reports of, in Zanzibar, and in places like the Dominican Republic, a lot of people are attacked by like a bat kind of creature that looks like a baby, but it's got black wings and one eye, and it's called the Papa Boa. So again, these things vary throughout different cultures, and almost like I say, the monkey man is a similar thing. In the US as well, you've got a thing called the noodle man, and it resembles like a goat. It's got a silly name, but kids start to talk about it, and whether it's real or not, more people begin to fear it, and then obviously there's always somebody that says they've had it happen because their mind starts to interpret what they've experienced as the Noodle Man. So that's how these things are born. And like I say, the hag is such a common thing, it's quite terrifying as well.
Well, it's the same application to ghost hunting, like what our focal point is. We always tell people, if you want to see ghosts, we'll show you ghosts. And we'll pump a person's mind. We'll pump a person's mind so hard. I mean, we don't really do this,
but we could
pump a person's mind so hard that we take them to a place we've been telling them about for the last hour and a half, how hard it is. Chances are they're going to experience something.
Yeah, they're going to be really, really hyped, and they're going to be, you know,
ultra-sensitive, yeah.
You know, I have one of the things that just happened in the past year is that, and I know it's sad, but the Weekly World News went out of print.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were very, very, very famous for Bat Boy.
Every week.
Bat Boy. There's always an update on Bat Boy, okay, which obviously was, you know, non-existent.
Some bad Photoshop work.
Bad Photoshop stuff, yeah. And but what I'm wondering is, when they started with this Bat Boy thing, and now this is popular media, and yes, it's you know, not
goofy.
Very... It's just goofy media, entertainment media more than... Yeah. Than media, but it wasn't very newsworthy, anything in Weekly World News. But Bat Boy, were there an increase in sightings of a Bat Boy kind of phenomena because of what Weekly World News did when they invented it?
Not really what I'm aware of, because I suppose in the UK, the Weekly World News is not really something that many people buy, and if they do, they see it as entertainment, so I don't really think so. But I know that in the US there's signs of a thing called the Bat Squatch, which, again, is when it becomes a fine line. Is it a Bigfoot? And that was in Washington when a guy, that was in the 90s, when he encountered this, basically his truck just stopped and this thing came down literally from the trees. And it was a huge sort of Bigfoot sort of kind of creature, but it had a muzzle, but it had big leathery wings.
Yeah.
But the thing is as well, you've also got the Bray Road Beast, which is one of the most... Exactly, and at the end of the day, werewolves are not meant to exist, but we get these sightings in the UK as well. So again, I don't think these things are... They all seem different variations, possibly of the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, again, interpretation. From culture
exactly.
to culture, we interpret these things different, and that's where all these different stories seem like they're coming from. American Werewolf in London, I just thought about that, I don't know why. Right. Have you?
I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen.
You
it
never
on
saw
cable.
American
I mean,
Werewolf in London?
The closest thing I've seen is the one with oh my gosh, who was on Family Ties? The kid from Family Ties.
Oh, Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf. I thought Teen Wolf, but that was
not quite the same.
Not quite the same
really?
At all. Oh, American Werewolf. I mean, Neil, I'm not trying to pull us off.
There's also an American Werewolf in Paris, which I haven't seen. That,
that was cool.
But
What was it, Neil?
That was poor.
American Werewolf in London. That was intense.
All right.
That was a disturbing film.
We are so gonna have a movie night one time.
You gotta check that movie out.
Bonnie and Amber Rose. We're gonna watch American Werewolf.
Oh, it's a wild film. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to pull us off of that, but it just popped in my head for some reason.
That's all right, because I'm actually planning a book on cryptozoology related movies as well. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that would be cool to like. That'd be a good read.
That would be amazing.
Because there's tons of films. I mean, a lot of horror films. I mean, again, I'm not trying to pull us off of our subject here, but there are so. Just go to the video store. I know I go to the video store here, and there's a lot of B-rate horror films, right?
Yeah.
That somehow make it on the shelves there, and there's always one, you know, like you know, Noodlehead or what? I mean, like any name,
right?
There's a horror film about all these weird, grotesque creatures. There's one for every single creature out there, probably. I mean, an independent type film. So that's a great... I mean, there's tons of media on that. I mean, fantasy media at that, but media.
Neil, have you run into any of these yourself? Other than you said you had one experience with like an old haggy kind of thing. But what about, you know, out and about? Have you ever run into it, or has anybody really close to you reported a first-hand experience?
Most of the reports that I'd get of people I know, they would class themselves as, they would class it as ghostly, because they don't really understand the whole thing of zoo form. And I think that's what's happened with a lot of the stuff in the US, because I don't personally think the hag attacks are that very different from alien abductions. It's a very similar kind of motive. Again, it's different interpretation, because the abductions was obviously very big at the time.
Uh-huh.
But like I say, in the UK, I know a few people that have seen a black dog. and it's due, normally been during the time when they've been very ill or somebody in their family has died. So again, like you said earlier, these things do seem to be kind of often bad omens, but how we're meant to understand these kind of things as bad omens, we rely on folklore for that, because unfortunately when these things appear, you know, we can't really understand them, so it's all very random.
There's just so much. I want to hear more.
Yeah.
If you can fill us in, I mean,
here's a really good
thing.
We've
talked about a lot so far.
Because the likelihood of me actually getting your book is probably pretty good now that I've, like, you know, totally hyped. I'm like, oh, I want it for my birthday.
Oh, you've done anything but lay a guilt trip on the listening.
Right, that's the only thing that I've done is not, you know, guilted them into getting it. But what stories, give me some of your favorite examples.
Yeah, I'd like to hear those.
And just a little, like, a teaser. Because I'm going to read it, but I want a teaser, something to make me, you know, I really want to know, wow, what am I going to find when I open up the pages?
Well, because I think there are thousands of creatures in there. There's a few sort of cool sort of line drawings and things like that, but they do vary. You've got the Bunny Man of American folklore.
Okay. So well, that doesn't sound very threatening, the Bunny Man. I mean,
the good thing with that is it's not threatening, and that's the good thing. But the actual story of it is quite eerie, and it's the usual of local teens believing this, basically. Just a certain area where they believe that, you know, people have found a lot of skinned rabbits and things like that, so they just started making up this legend of this Bunny Man. But I actually found out that there once was a guy in the area who dressed up in a bunny suit, and he came running out of the woods with an axe and attacked cars. So it was born from something that was actually real, but turned into a monster story, when in the end it was probably just some crazy guy. And the same with the Goat Man, that was kind of just a legend of some hobo who used to live in the woods, some hermit, and sort of used to live off the local woodland and wildlife. But the kids who used to go to the area misunderstood him and always painted him as a kind of bogeyman kind of figure. So I think that's how they're kind of born, and that's what makes some good campfire stories.
Oh, my God. You know, it makes me think about, you know, and I just thought about this the other day. When I was very young, and it was the nighttime, and my parents, when I was about maybe 8 or 9 years old, we were driving through our neighborhood, heading back to the house, and it was nighttime, right around Halloween, right?
Of course.
And I remember this, and it kind of makes me think of the same thing when you said the Bunny Man running around. I remember we were driving in my dad's 74 Impala, all right?
Wow.
Classic car, right?
Humongous car.
Humongous car. Yeah. We're driving down the street, and this guy jumped out in front of the car, and he was in a Kiss outfit, the band Kiss, Gene Simmons, right? He was dressed as Gene Simmons, and he was running. He ran right in front of the car and was like, ah, with his tongue and stuff like that. Now, and just ran away. Now, of course, you know, I did worship Gene Simmons until he got into reality TV land, whatever. So, but I mean, Gene Simmons, I was like, I didn't, you know, back then I knew about him, but I was still very young developing, right? But that scared the crap out of me, okay? Now, if some guy come running out as I'm driving down the street, come running out of the woods.
Dressed as a goat or a bunny
or
with an axe.
A bunny with an axe. I would ruin that car. I would ruin the interior of that car.
If you imagine as well, if you was a kid as well, and you looked out the back of the car, and you was the only one who see that, and the adults never saw it, you'd be convinced that you'd actually seen possibly something like a monster.
Yeah.
Even if it was sort of a bit of a hoax. And if that got into the paper or got spread around, it'd soon be enough other people start seeing it, and obviously, and there was always some idiot out there who might go up and dress up as it again.
Yeah.
So that's how these things are born a lot of the time.
Yeah, well, my father, I know in that situation I was talking with the Kiss outfit, I was like, oh my God, I freaked out. And my dad's like, and he was just like, he flashed the brights and honked, and the guy started dancing and stuff, and it was, after a couple of seconds, it was clearly a human being in front of us.
Right.
My dad showed me that, and the guy was just having fun.
I don't think Gene Simmons, man.
But you don't understand, growing up, though, when I was young, though, growing up, I, like, in that time of my life, when I was just starting to get into all that insane music, Gene Simmons scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Spitting blood at the crowd, and that huge tongue, and that scared the crap
out
of me.
It's all the imagery of it. When I was like 13, 14, I got into like heavy rock stuff in the UK, and a lot of the imagery of the album covers as well. It was so new at the time and refreshing, sort of satanic and dark, and it was a really sort of morbid place to be at the time. Whereas you look back now, and a lot of it's sort of quite embarrassing, but it all kind of fits together. It's sort of them kind of things you need.
Well, you guys got Motorhead, so I can't argue with the UK ever. You guys have
Black Sabbath.
Yeah, you guys have all the monster bands, and who do we have?
Yeah.
We got Creed. But no, I mean, that's still a good example, though. I mean, yeah, Kiss, Gene Simmons, but that's something, similar to this bunny man you're talking about, you know, where it ran out. My dad showed me that it wasn't a monster or anything like that that I thought it was initially. But, it, I mean, if I didn't have that kind of guidance, though, like you said, Neil, I would have thought it was some kind of weird zooform type thing.
Yeah, well, the thing is with bunny man is that people sort of, kids still flock to the area now because they think that there's some kind of sort of spook or bogeyman around there that's going to come running out of an axe that does, but doesn't actually... They don't see it now as a guy in a bunny suit. They actually see it as some kind of bizarre rabbit-human mutation that's going to kind of hack them to pieces. But they get a buzz off that, what they might see, so they always hang around, have a few beers, and it's the local urban legend.
Wow. And that's what Linda said. Linda Godfrey said about the Beast of Bray Road. She's like, if there, you know, she says there probably was a Beast of Bray Road. However, it's probably misunderstood, and it's not there anymore. So you can go to Bray Road, you can look, but it's just not there. If it, you know,
maybe the cast character who played the Beast of Bray Road passed away.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. You never know.
It could very well be that.
But the classic thing with the Bray Road Beast is the same as Mothman. Is that that's one of the zoo form creatures that seems to have some kind of staying power.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder how it can have that kind of staying power if it's allegedly not been seen, because obviously this thing's been seen chasing cars, it's been seen eating roadkill. So there's obviously got something to do with the lie of the land. I think it goes right back to sort of Native American Indian kind of belief, but back then it was more understood, whereas nowadays if it appears, especially if you get places where they've built sort of shopping malls over the top of it. So if something like Mothman appears now, it's even more bizarre because it's so out of place.
Oh, completely.
But, you know, but obviously it's just appearing in its own void. But yeah, like I say, the Bray Road Beast has been around for quite a while, but I'm still pretty convinced that it doesn't exist in the woods and it is some kind of weird sort of manifestation.
I think the staying power is that it's a great story.
It is a great story. We have like a minute left, and so I want to throw out your website.
Yeah.
It's Neil Arnold. You wrote, of course, Monster: The A to Z of Zooform Phenomena, and which is available on Amazon and all those kinds of things, so the usual places. Your website is www.zooform.blogspot.com. And what a pleasure it's been. I'm absolutely geeked that I got to talk to you today.
And we're going to have to do it again.
Great.
We're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, I'd love to come back on. Yeah, I'd love to come back on.
We definitely do that. Hang on the line for one second. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Okay.
All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to bring John back.
Yes.
John Topp from earlier. We totally call him back, so we're going to call him back, though. Again, we want to thank Neil Arnold for joining us, and what a great conversation. What a great stuff to talk about.
This totally excites my imagination.
And it brought back so many memories for me, too. American Werewolf in London, the Kiss guy running and chasing me around the neighborhood, me and my dad.
Yeah.
I mean, all these wonderful memories I've had from my childhood.
You are smiling ear to ear. That's awesome.
I am. Yeah, I'm having a riot.
You guys will be right back after this with more John Topp. We're going to be talking more ITC for the last half hour of the show. And then we'll set you free.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Power Hub Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium. Where is the Warren House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder. And it was the tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we know where we're going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
that's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org.
So you're seeking the truth? You have questions or answers? Join a community of like-minded people on the NIPERS forums. Simply go to the NIPERS website, www.nnyprs.com, click on the NIPERS discussion forum. Here you can browse our many topics covering all aspects of the paranormal field. Ask your questions Post your comments. Get answers. Seek truth. The Nightbridge Discussion Forums. Your forums.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasure,
new
planetary
world
mind control, military cover-up, corporate
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasure, planetary mind control,
unidentified flying
objects,
presidential assassinations,
unidentified flying objects, presidential assassinations,
pyramids,
freemasons,
pyramids,
illuminants,
fascists,
apocalypse.
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing.
Okay, this is Screen Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's an EMF meter. Started this morning.
You're listening to
the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure.
Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott O.
So we fly back from the UK.
Yeah.
Back to Canada.
Yeah. We're back to
ITC. We're back here in comfortable, beautiful Canada now.
Well, this is actually
right.
Yeah, this is actually really not only unexpected, but very, very welcome. Thing that we happen to have this last half hour, so
oh,
we
yeah.
can bring John yeah. back to continue talking about ITC and his experiments.
I mean,
what were we thinking? It's been a year. It's been a year since we talked to John.
Yeah.
We
probably hard should to sum up a year in an hour.
Yeah. so with all your research that you're doing, it's
independent show does.
Yyes.
That's the point I like to make with this. This is what an independent show does. We have the flexibility and the freedom to do whatever we want.
Which is really cool. And
so we want to have John back. We want
to talk to John.
So John's back.
Your website is www.walkthroughwalls.org. That's walkthroughwalls.org.
Yeah.
And that's where all these clips are. We're going to also put a copy of them, the ones that we're talking about, and, well, the whole package.
We'll put the whole package up.
Up on our website along with this archive so that folks can download them and listen to them in their headphones.
Yeah, definitely. So we just want to jump back into this, John, like we never even left off.
I figure we might as well. Let's just get right into the good stuff.
All right. Sounds good.
Give me a number, John.
Okay, so this one is number 11. Okay. This is pretty cool. It's probably the clearest radio one I've got yet. I always think it's really clear. I don't know what you guys think, but and the message is interesting as well. This was right at the end of this. So this phase went from like March to July of 2007. This was basically the right at the end of it. It was basically the last one I got.
Okay.
Of that phase. Yeah.
All right. Let's play it. Ooh, let's play it one more time. I'm hearing a deeper voice this time,
well,
more of a male voice.
I hear two things, I think. I at the very beginning, there's like a maybe a female-ish thing, or maybe it's music, and it's going, kind of thing. And then after that, there's the male voice that's clearly saying something. So those are the two things I heard under the staticky noise.
You want to hear it one more time?
No, I want to hear John talk about it.
Okay, which one?
Okay.
Let's flip a coin. Go ahead, John. What'd you hear?
All right. Here's what I'm hearing. The government tries to cover up America.
Makes perfect sense to me. I agree with that with that being. Let's play it one more time.
So does America try to cover up America? But let's try it.
Okay, here we go. Now here's something
perfect.
That ties into that.
That is absolutely dead on. I mean, I would have had to have analyzed it, you know, because the sounds above it are very distracting, right?
Yes.
And I haven't trained myself to listen through the sounds to just the voice yet. Once you tell me what you think you heard, that gut instinct is right on.
Here's something that I wanted to note on this also. I was talking to Marcus Leder,
Yes.
Yeah.
We all know and love Mr. Leader a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about research and stuff like that and whatnot. And one thing that he mentioned was that, you know, this, you know, ITC experiments, getting these sounds and voices and messages, whatever they may be, he's like, the government doesn't like this stuff, really doesn't like this. For the reason being is that this is the same technology or the same means of communicating with UFOs and aliens also. This is, you know, I mean, and I'm not trying to quote Marcus. I don't want to do that at all.
Yeah.
But this is what we were discussing. And he's like, you know, it's along the same lines. So hearing this comment, it kind of puts the hook in that a little bit more, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I believe that, I mean, the government or whatever forces are controlling the government, the ones, the sort of world government that's kind of destroying our world, I guess you could say, or is trying to, does not want us to be doing stuff like ITC. Definitely, I agree with Marcus on that. They want us to be watching TV and doing silly things. And that's another, that makes that other quote relevant as well. Work on the forefront, not on the hysteria, right?
So yeah.
We're constantly trying to be distracted, and they don't want us contacting other dimensions, I would say, definitely.
And what,
they don't want us sort of waking up to reality, right?
Well, yeah.
The
thing is
they've done a couple of things that go against... I mean, I understand. I completely understand. I see where entertainment is going.
Oh, it's total propaganda, a lot of it. I was watching a show last night. It was America. Just before we went to the theater, I flicked around for a second, and I found this show called America's Scariest Police Cameras. Right? And what they were doing was talking about this stuff, and they were showing, of course, like, you know, one ridiculous scenario after another being filmed by a police car camera, right? There are good sides to that, I really agree, but the whole thing was basically like how great it is to have every single thing being filmed, right? Which basically to me sounds like propaganda, because it's like, oh, cameras are good, we want you to be filmed all the time.
If you have nothing to hide, then you won't mind, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's the going number right now? I heard recently that on an average day in American is being filmed at least seven times a day. Seven times a day we're on camera.
I believe it.
And that's, I mean, that's why I said to Amber.
Then in the times we're not being filmed, we're sitting there watching other people being filmed.
it's like
really, really addictive. But
America's funniest coffee maker pee people or whatever.
But at
we've seen that too.
At the same time, we've got the government also, for some reason, accidentally, I think, worldwide, they accidentally sort of unleashed the internet on us. Which might have gone against their wishes, because
I wonder sometimes if they knew that there would be some bad in it for them, but they thought that the distraction part of it might outweigh the information part.
I wonder, because with all this collaboration on the internet, people are starting to talk more, people are starting to exchange ideas more, and it's just absolutely incredible how it's brought a lot of people together who otherwise would have never in a million years found each other. And so I wonder if that went against what they were doing, but you're right. As a distraction, it's definitely, I see
it
the
is.
Point.
And because, I mean, you see people eating up so much of their lives just doing ridiculous stuff on the internet, right? I mean, you know, I do a bit too.
I wonder what that might be.
I don't know.
Let
me check my cell phone and see if I got any new messages on the MySpace.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's just really, like, technology in itself is neutral, right? It's all what we do with it.
Well, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really a good idea there, John, because, embrace technology. You know, enjoy it for what it is. But, you know, I mean, I found over the last, three or four years, I don't do any fun stuff on the computer anymore, it seems like. I'm always working on, you know, mainly the show here, making spreadsheets for the show.
Yeah,
always makes fun of me for.
We now share 15 of them.
One spreadsheet after another, but, I mean, I'm trying to be productive and do something.
And you are.
Right.
You know?
And you are. Speaking of productive.
I'm just thinking, like, the syntax of this quote is interesting. The government tries to cover up America, so... They're talking about a government cover-up, but what's the cover-up? It's actually America itself. Like, they're covering up the spirit of America, or you know? It's the usual kind of double entendre that you get with ITC.
Uh-huh.
They sort of use a play on words. And also, I don't know, they're saying the government. I wonder if they're when they say the government, I mean, I'm personally Canadian. They're not talking about the Canadian government, but they're saying the government. So I wonder if they're saying if they're saying sort of the world government, you know what I mean?
Well, what's being formed, yeah.
Conspiracy-like, you know?
Yeah, what's possibly being formed as we speak right now.
Has been formed a long time ago, even.
We don't know about, yeah. We now see, you know, in Europe with the euro, everything's going to one currency. And it's very much the beginning of consolidated governments.
Yeah, absolutely. And I read some authors like David Icke and that sort of thing, and, and I believe that all this stuff is really controlled by a handful of people that are not elected by any means.
Oh, yeah, and I agree. I agree with that. Let's move on. I agree with everything, but I don't know how we got here.
This is politics talk.
Let me also tell you, I don't know, there's a couple of things that happened after I got that. So there's a reason that was the last clip of that sort of phase.
Okay.
And without sort of making any assumptions about it, it's just interesting, I think. So what happened the day after I got that clip, the government tries to cover up America, My wife accidentally flooded the laundry room above my studio, or at least the tap was left on. She doesn't remember leaving it on, and the sink filled up. Sink was plugged. It filled up. All this water came down into my studio and onto my equipment.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, everything was okay. I was able to go. I got there soon enough, and nothing was destroyed. The day after that, or 2 days after that, I went outside and into the alleyway beside my house, and the antenna that goes up to my, the cable that goes up to the TV antenna on the roof, which I have been using for my radio contact since the beginning, was lying in the alleyway and had been chewed through. There were bite marks all over it. So it had been disconnected, eaten right through. It's sort of a half-inch thick cable, a pretty good-sized cable.
Maybe we should bring Neil Arnold back on and try to figure this one out.
because that sounds like a cryptid.
It's just weird. Like, you know, it's easy to sound paranoid or to be paranoid or whatever, but it's just strange that those two things happen one after the other right after I received this clip. And I don't know. I find it hard to just write that off as being just coincidence sort of thing.
It was chewed up.
The government said, sick bat boy on him.
The bat that
well,
the other is.
Yeah, and you know what? I really think that whatever this government is, they're in cahoots with people on the other side. I really think that.
Well, we've heard story after story about that. We've talked to people about that. How they've there's been contact for the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And that there has been joint projects going on. Of course, black ops, black budget type things like that.
Yeah.
That's a whole show in itself, right there. I tell you. We got some more clips here. After.
Okay.
After.
Yep. Okay.
So these happened after that phase and after that bizarre set of things that happened to your equipment and then your aerial wire.
Yeah. So after that, it stopped. I was getting pretty crappy sounding stuff and not very often. Before that, during that phase, I was getting stuff every couple days or every day, getting pretty good clips.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it just kind of went piecemeal for a while, and I tried to get information as to what was going on. I asked them at one point, what should I do? And they, at one point, I got something telling me to lay low for a while. Then I asked them, how are things going on your side, sort of thing, and they said, we have to rebuild our studio.
Hmm.
That was actually what they said to me, yeah.
Evidently, their wife saw accident.
No, wait a minute. Do we have this? Do we have a clip of this?
I don't have clips of those because they weren't very good. They're really hard to make out.
Okay.
But again, it's like when I try to get specific information, I can hear it sometimes, but they're just not good enough to play.
Okay.
Which says two things, that they have some kind of studio, and then also that there was something done to it, right? Maybe at the same time that something happened to my stuff.
There's a government on the other side? Oh, my God. We're all doomed.
Yeah. Well, that's right. But no, it just shows that, there's the two forces at work everywhere. Right?
Or maybe as things happen here, compatible things happen maybe in a different way in the other side.
For sure.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
we're somewhat linked. I mean.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, or there was just some kind of, dual attack or something like that, simultaneous attack or something. God, who knows?
we're talking very completely right now. What's another clip here? Which one do you want me to play? Is there another one we want to...
So in October then, so things kind of went on, I get stuff once in a while. In October, have you guys heard of Daniel Pinchbeck?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he wrote this book recently, 2012, The Return of Quetzalcoatl.
Oh, yes, okay, I saw the announcement.
Okay, so I read his book and was getting all sorts of interesting synchronicities while reading that. And then I emailed him. I thought he would be interested in ITC, and he started up this website called realitysandwich.com, which is kind of a site with lots of interesting articles about subjects like what we're talking about, and it sounded like he hadn't heard of ITC before, and he was very interested and asked me to write an article. So I wrote an article just sort of outlining, you know, touching on a few key points of the history of ITC with, you know, EVP and the World ITC group and all that, Mark Macy's group and everything, and then talked a bit about what I've been doing, played some clips, included some clips with the article. The day the article went up, I got one of my best clips yet, and this was still with the antenna down. I hadn't reconnected it.
Okay.
But it seemed to me that maybe somehow the act of writing the article resulted in me getting that clip.
Well, that's intention.
Exactly.
That's intention, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's pure
Which
intention.
Is one of the key ingredients, intention and cooperation and vibration.
Yeah.
It's a key ingredient to ITC.
What number is this, John?
This is number 14.
All right.
So there's a bit of talking and then some singing. And then I have a crop of this afterwards as well.
All right. We'll play it. Here we go. Hell is that?
First of all, the properties of this recording are completely different because I don't get the stuff. And
Static. What is
okay?
This?
Well, I think this one has noise reduction done on it. So
okay.
All
right.
Okay.
In the future, I'll do that for all of them.
Because this was really, really clear and very eerie. Because I'm thinking, if that's what's coming out of my radio, yike.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, eh?
Yeah. It's a lot of communication and
it's a lot of harmonies, the tones.
The most interesting has to be the ladies, or I don't know if it's the ladies.
Yeah,
it sounds
beautiful
female,
voice.
But the beautiful voice is just going on and on and telling us something. It's phenomenal.
Yes, and it sounds sort of Asian, maybe Chinese sort of singing, but also kind of otherworldly, like the vibrato of it, the way she's, you know, modulating her voice is almost alien sounding. And it goes for a while, and it seems unlikely that it's not the kind of thing you just get randomly over shortwave, like a stray radio signal, but also in addition to that, if you hear the talking at the beginning, one of the things that they're saying, there's this kind of introduction, they're introducing her, like, it's like her name is Fufu or something like that, they're going, here comes Fufu, and then someone says, so you can keep her on disc.
Hmm.
Yes. So to me, that right there is very crucial, right?
Can we play this again, John?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to play this. It's a 30-second file. Let's play it again, though.
Yeah.
Somebody's rocking out.
There's like three parts where they're doing talking and then a couple musical interludes in between. Very interesting.
And that's absolutely characteristic of a lot of the stuff I get. You get this mixture of singing, talking, three to four different people talking, saying all these different things.
You said you got a clip of this also. You clipped
something out. So the number 15 is a clip of just the first part where they're introducing her.
All right. Let's give this a listen. Let's try this out.
Yeah.
It's bassy.
What's interesting is
but it sounds female.
And it's a different cadence than you would use if you were speaking in a voice. So, you know, if it were a stray radio signal, you know, and somebody actually said, "Here comes Foo Foo," you wouldn't have said, "Here comes Foo Foo." You know, you don't talk like that, you know.
That's the thing. When you're getting a regular radio station, it's obvious, you know, you can hear it.
Yeah.
This stuff sounds totally different. Totally different. So yeah, they say here comes Foo Foo, and then can you hear where she says, "So you can keep her on disc."
I heard it, but I didn't understand it. Crystal, like, this is a remarkable breakthrough because this is definitely different than the earlier ones. I want to hear that one more time.
Here we go.
Yeah, I matched it up in my head. I can hear, so you can keep around this, but it would take for me to convince myself that that's what it is.
It would take another
couple listens, but it's is so clear and so I understand her.
It's
definitely different. So it went from the earlier ones into a new phase in October then, right?
This one was in October of just a few months ago. So, on the day that article went online. So,
interesting. Wow. Have you heard from them since?
I've been getting the odd thing. I got a weird one the other day. Some guy talking in the woman and followed by a guy talking in a really deep voice, like not human deep, like brr, 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 really low. And I can sort of make it out. It's a really weird clip. But, you know, I'm not getting stuff all the time right now. I think the next thing I'm going to do is reconnect the antenna on the roof. I don't know how much that has to do with it, because this clip, which is probably the best one I have, came through with the antenna.
It was unassisted, it sounds like. You didn't need the antenna for it.
Yeah, so I don't know how much that matters, but maybe it makes it easier. I don't know for them.
Interesting. Well, real quick, we only got a couple seconds left. The future. Let's talk about the future, because, we're going to be talking to you again, I think, very, very soon, John.
Yeah, that would be great. Bro and I, Bro Perkins, the psychic fella, we are currently talking to a TV station, a Canadian cable channel, about a show. So,
how exciting.
It's pretty cool. It's funny because he and I have been talking about an idea for a show for a while, and then these guys kind of came to us completely that we weren't even pursuing them. And it just came at the same time that we were making plans to start pursuing something. And so someone from a station, cable channel, knew a client of Bro's that had a reading, and she contacted Bro that way, and they want to do some kind of show involving house investigation of houses more along the ghost, in the ghost area.
Well, speaking of robotic-sounding voices, John,
something happened.
Yeah, something happened. I think your phone is finally going away.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's chopping up.
Don't leave us,
however.
Hang
congratulations.
On congratulations.
And we're looking forward to seeing what comes of that.
Let me see if I can move around and get it.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, that's
better.
Better.
You're back
that's
now.
Better.
You're back.
Is that getting better? Okay.
Yes.
We're at the end of the show. It don't matter.
But I think congratulations. I want to hear more about that project.
I want to hear more
about
your
ITC research and everything.
Yeah,
so do keep in touch.
Yeah, and I put everything up on the website, on the homepage there, on the blog. Whenever I get something cool, I throw it up there.
All right, cool. And we're going to be posting all these clips up on our website, too.
So don't forget.
Okay.
It's www.walkthroughwalls.org. I'd like to thank you, John Topp, for coming on and sharing all this incredible research.
Yes.
And of course, Neil Arnold from
great conversation
zooform.blogspot.com.
Yeah, man.
And you've got to come back.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again. Coming back, John. We appreciate your flexibility.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be on. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hang on the line. Everybody.
Okay.
Everybody out there listening, thank you so much for listening to Ghostly Talk this week. It's been a very exciting week for me and International Ghostly Talk, and we will be back next Sunday from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, so set your clocks.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
listen to now, baby.
I need to go someplace where I can think.
And more accurate, balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Hate the media, become the media.